Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky, and this is the Star Chamber Show, a show by creatives for creatives, and this is episode number 158, if you are keeping score, and I'm here with you tonight with the one, the only, Daniel Dark from Nashville, and Holly Phillippe, everybody's favorite. It's coming from about 20 feet away from me.
I hope everything is going wonderful in Kentucky. It is hitting heavy in Tennessee. April is going to be a hellacious month for the Dark House. I've got every weekend that I'm going to be, you know, be someplace until May, you know, sometime in May.
That's a good thing.
That's awfully a good thing.
Being in LaGrange and everything, I've got Clarksville coming up. I've got Alabama Cigar Room coming up next weekend, and just heading all over the place, you know, trying to get some things done. And rearrange.
And a Chicago book research trip, which is pretty epic, I might say.
So did I hear you right? Are you coming to see us on the 20th? You're coming to LaGrange?
As far as I know, unless something happens.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And of course,
Stephen gave me that date the other day and everything. I put it right in my calendar right then. So.
I need a dark visit bad.
Yes, we could definitely use a good visit from you in person. That's fantastic news.
Keeps me from killing off people.
And what is happening in LaGrange, some people may know, but that's the 9th annual Kentuckiana Independent Authors Fair. Great show, and that's at the YMCA Community Center in LaGrange on West Jefferson Street. That's going to be an all-day event from 10 to 4, in case you're wondering. Can come see Mr. Darkstyle in person. And Holly and I will both be there, too. So who knows? Maybe we'll record something for a broadcast. You never know. But
and I just heard from another young lady that she might be there, too. Miss Lacey?
Yes, Lacey will be stopping by. She told me she would.
Nobody tells me anything. Gosh, I didn't even know that.
I told you, Lacey, that she was going to stop in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she told me while back. Yeah, she said she'd definitely be stopping in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I hope we can meet that new baby.
Yeah, I've been to all 9 of those, so that's going to be a cool thing indeed. Back from the original location in Madison when Frank Hall did the fair at that book place. And yeah, now it's migrated to LaGrange the last few years, and it's a good venue. It's a nice big open space at the YMCA there, and I think they're going to have food trucks again. That went over really good.
Yes, thank God. I don't have to cook. And, I used to have to cook.
Yeah, that was awesome. That's where I was getting to know you really good. I was running your hot dogs and hamburgers out to the crowd because I got drafted from the floor. I went from to server, that was a fun year. That was, I want to say 2016, was it?
It was.
God, that's right after we started dating. How cool is that?
We made up a little sign for you.
That was fun.
Yeah, Holler and Holly's hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, we even had that little tree. I put a little tree. I remember putting a little tree logo on your
Yeah,
on your
I still have it somewhere.
That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was yeah, that was cool. That was down at that armory down in Madison. I think that was last year. It was
when Frank
in LaGrange.
That was the last year Frank did it.
LaGrange. Yeah. And then it moved, and now the rest is history. Now Tony Acree, of course, Hydro Publications, it's his show now, and yeah, it's a fun one that we do definitely look forward to. So that's gonna be awesome. That's gonna be all of us look forward to that. It's a fun day. It's a day to catch up with a lot of authors that we know come in from around the region. They usually have quite a few. I mean, they usually have a pretty large number, all genres. And yeah, it's a good thing if you're into books, independent books, and good writers. I mean, there's a great mix of writers there. And yeah, look it up. The Kentucky Anna Independent Authors Fair. And that's going to be ninth annual LaGrange, Kentucky, April 20th. So, yeah, there we go. I want to give a little shout out to that because, tonight's going to have a little bit of a Hydra theme to it because I'm not going to get into it too much tonight, but our upcoming guest is in the Hydra camp as well. So hopefully we'll be able to pry some good Tony Acree stories out of him when he gets on the air here.
Yeah, we won't hold that against him, so.
Tony ought to be listening somewhere. And you never know, maybe the man himself, Rob Hoff, is lurking out there somewhere, and he'll call in or something.
Oh, you know he is.
You
feel it in the force. You feel it. You feel, you know,
a
disturbance in the force.
Yeah, the cosmic egg rapture man himself. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, if he joins us tonight. Yeah, we've been busy. It's been a crazy time, just workload wise, and so definitely good to regroup tonight on the show with all of you, and definitely gonna have a good one here. But I've just been inundated with paperwork on the business side, and then creatively it's actually been not bad. I've been averaging about 3,000 words plus a day on writing front, so that's been chugging, and so it's a good balance, I guess. But it leaves you tired, mentally. Yeah, you end up, spending, 16 hours a day, doing, writing and work. You know, it's definitely gets you, your mind turned to mush at the end of each day. But Daniel starts out that way. But Daniel knows what I'm talking about. He's working hard on novels right now. So.
Yeah. I'm not getting that 3,000 words a day, but
we're waiting on that second knife tail,
Oh yeah.
Well,
I'm actually looking forward I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I said I'm actually looking forward to it, like I wasn't looking forward to it, but I am. I am looking forward to the follow-up to Nice Tail. That's going to be absolutely fantastic. The first one is definitely.
Are you getting it? Are you getting there, Daniel?
That is one of the whole reasons that I'm headed to Chicago. I've been trying to get information email-wise and all that stuff, and I cannot get the information that I need. People aren't responding back to me the way I need them to and stuff. So me and my wife sat down and just looked at it and said, go up there, this time and get the information and do it. I looked through all my schedule. I'm like, okay, I've got this weekend that I'm not doing anything, that I don't have other things done. So I'm going up there for about 4 days.
Very cool.
And do everything I need to do and get back to Nashville and get to writing again. So
fantastic.
Yeah, well, at least on your meal breaks, get some of that good Chicago style pizza and a few goodies like that. That'll make the trip extra fun. But
I figured I'd get me a Philly cheesesteak while I was in Chicago.
Well, hey,
they probably got them. I guarantee it.
If somebody has a good one, go for it. But yeah, definitely that Chicago style pizza is one thing. Yeah, for sure. That's good stuff. Oh, yeah. But then again, I'm partial to I tend to be a little partial to pizza myself, so I'm kind of biased. But that's good stuff. Oh, man. So what else is
tonight.
New?
So
do we have anything?
So
do we have anything really big to cover before the show? Nothing too crazy news wise since last week. Yeah, as far as like
nothing
new,
too crazy. If people are looking for places to see people at, I know Fandom Fest was this last weekend, and
where was it?
That was at the Nashville Library.
Oh, okay. They have one there. Because we had a Fandom Fest in Kentucky, but it's no longer.
Yeah, there was one, a big one in Louisville, but they're, yeah, I guess, not doing it anymore. Last year was the first year it kind of ceased.
But anybody that's in Alabama and everything in Huntsville, I'll be down at the Cigar Room doing a big event with them on the 13th. And then the Kentucky Author Fair in LaGrange, and then Clarksville, Tennessee has a big con going on that I'll be doing two different panels there. One on
Jack
the Ripper and one on writing books and stuff, so.
Yeah, as far as I'm going, I will see you in LaGrange for sure. That's an appearance. And then I actually am stepping in for Tony due to was unable to schedule-wise for it, so I'm kind of stepping in for Tony to do an AARP event in Louisville on the 24th, and that's going to be a panel discussion about writing and publishing for the AARP group up there. And I don't know who all my co-panelists are entirely. I think Dave Creek is one. But, yeah, I think Bill Noel actually is another one. I think
on
Bill's
the 24th
on
of this month?
24th of April, yeah.
And you're just now telling me this.
I have to shoot up there to do that.
Well,
you know that's a Wednesday, don't you?
Yeah, so you do realize that I, you know, am the schedule person, so you better be glad that we didn't have something going on.
Oh, dear. Oh,
yeah.
No. Well, hey, let's focus on the show.
He didn't check that one over with me.
April 4th is a Wednesday. You remember that, don't you?
Yeah, it is a Wednesday. Are you aware of this?
Well, Tony, I already said yes to it, so I'm going to be doing it again.
It's on a Wednesday.
Oh, well. I got to do it.
See?
Look at a calendar before you say yes, Stephen.
Exactly. Exactly. And he didn't check it with the boss woman. See, that's what happened. See,
well,
you gotta check it with
the
schedule
I mean,
woman.
I can call in to help run the show. Don't worry, it's not gonna be a big problem. Angela McPherson's on the panel. Bill Noel, and myself, and I think, like I said, Dave Creek is on it. So it should be pretty cool. Should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it actually.
Dear God, I may be doing the panel from. I may be doing the podcast from Louisville. Or in the car on the way back.
See how the world of independent creatives works. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Yes. That's why you got to check in with your schedule person. Live and learn, Zimmer.
Uh-huh. Well, see, you say I need to be less reclusive, so. You know, see, so catch 22 there. You know, I get out and do that.
Well, so
that will
be me and Mike on that night too. So.
Yep.
Oh, Michael's on. Okay.
Yep, he knows.
Well, he can run it. Michael knows how.
Yeah. I don't have the ability to run it.
Right, but Michael does.
Well,
so.
You do.
We're good.
But I've got.
Well, now,
I
can do it mobile.
Internet service, and that is not here, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can do it mobile, too.
Yeah.
mobile.
Because
I can run
it'll
off
be
my
fine.
Phone.
It will be fine. Don't no worries at all.
All right, guys.
We will take care of both.
We've knocked them down enough, Holly. Let's move on.
Are you sure?
I know.
Are you sure about this?
Kick him one more time. He's down on the ground. Kick him one more time and then walk away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very, very nice. Well,
you remember, you do have to sleep at some point. You know, I do sleep in the same room with you, so you have to go to sleep sometime. Just remember that.
Well, why don't we go to a real high note and recognize one of our awesome sponsors right now? So I think that would be a cool thing to do. and
let's hear the sponsors.
Is brought to you by Sandy Lender. And fantasy author Sandy Lender has stories for everyone, especially for readers who like dragons. Realms of Fantasy magazine positively reviewed her dragon-packed novel, Choices Meant for Kings, upon its release. Then TimelessTeens.com went nuts for the critters and her Dragons in Space series. She's got 10 books available on Amazon so far, and she's not stopping. Check out the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon.com to pick up a new favorite story. And so, yes, thank you, Sandy. And, yeah, I've said it before. I have read Sandy's stuff. It's fantastic, and I totally endorse it and put my name behind that and check out
and
her
stuff. And she's fantastic.
Good. Yeah. Really appreciate her sponsoring the show, too. She is just awesome. So,
and I do want to say something real quick to Sandy. And I want to tell her I'm very sorry, and I know how she feels. She lost her little birdie, Tiki, today.
I didn't know that.
It lost its – yeah, it passed away this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And so, yeah, it's been a hard day for Sandy. That's why she's been so quiet. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
I wanted to say I'm very sorry. Poor thing.
Being bombastic
there,
there. I didn't even realize that it happened.
Well, it did suck.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, you lose a fur baby, feather baby, I guess, in that case. But we've all been there, and it's hard. You do get
they
are family. They are family.
Yeah,
we can relate.
Spent the night running her cat to the ER the other night in a really scary situation. Had a nice $800 bill at the end of that, and it's tough when you got, you know, four-legged or feathered family members. You know, it's that definitely can be a tough situation.
Who was in there the other night?
Courtney,
Courtney's cat, his sister's cat.
Yeah,
she's got
asthma looks like, so.
Yeah.
The spring is
evidently
kicking in some asthma.
Well,
Kitty
and Taylor.
I'm not an expert on cat asthma, but.
Yeah. It's amazing
what they
got now. I just can't imagine them giving a cat an inhaler every day. Me and Steven was thinking
right.
about that. That is not going to be a pleasant experience.
Yeah. That's not something I want to try to do too often. Yeah.
Dubious without me having it, I'm telling you.
A little bit. We still have to use a towel on him.
That's almost
like
the cat challenge where you hold on to a cat and everything, you shoot a gun, see how long you can hold it.
Exactly.
No, you wrap them in towels like a burrito if you need to do anything.
Yep.
That's the best way to handle it.
That's how we worked on Doobie. Yeah, we sure did. You have to wrap him in a towel, don't they?
It's the only way you get cooperation sometimes. And it's not exactly cooperation. It's more coercion than cooperation.
I think it's a creative thing. I don't know one creative person that hates animals. I've never heard of one. There probably is, but it's few and far between. Because usually creative people, they're passionate about their animals.
Yeah. They
it's
definitely
I hate
goes
animals,
hand
but
hand.
The ones that I hate are all two-legged.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
Well, two-legged ones.
I hate super people
more often by far, but
God, my.
We are going to turn our attention to a positive person who is our guest tonight on the show, and looks like he is on deck. And He actually, this is his first year under his belt as a published author. He's got a book out from Hydra Publications, Camelot's Misplaced Son. And he is also, you know, a musician, and he had a career in the banking industry as well. And so we've got a lot of stuff to talk to tonight's guest about. I'm excited about this. So tonight, bringing the action, we have the one and only Pat Paxton. Welcome to the Star Chambers Show, Pat.
Woohoo! Hello, Pat!
Oh, I'm sorry. I was calling about a 97 Dodge Dakota. That's supposed to have some low mileage and not much rust.
It's only about $50,000.
Hello, folks. Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Am I coming in okay?
You're coming in fine.
I
can hear you.
A little light, but I can hear
bit.
You.
Okay. Yeah, you might want to crank it up just a bit.
All right. Any better at all?
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
That's better.
That's
there
okay.
you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Got it. First
Your
question.
Answer. Thanks for having
I've got to know this. I have a burning, burning question. You were in one of my favorite television shows of all time, Sleepy Hollow. How in the world did this come about? I mean, that was like one of my all-time favorite shows.
Well, that was literally a blink and you miss it moment. So I live in the Louisville area now, but I've been here about 3 years. And 3 years before that, I was in the Wilmington, North Carolina area. I lived there, and they used to film a lot of television and movie shows there.
Oh yeah,
and,
Wilmington area.
State of North Carolina. Yes, the state of North Carolina changed their tax laws. They had a really favorable tax law for to incentivize film production and all there, and then they changed it and everybody moved out. But while I was there, there used to be a Facebook page called the Wilmington Casting Call. It may still exist, and they would put. Casting calls for extras and sometimes not extras, you know, too, like credited parts. But so that show had a call, and I went down there and they looked at me and said, okay. So, but I was an extra, and but it was kind of fun. I mean, somehow they stuck me right up front, and for about 10 seconds, my whole face was smeared all over the screen. So.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I'd imagine. I'd imagine. God, that was a great show.
A lot of waiting around, though.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
That's the worst thing.
All works and, yeah, and I had, I got a free breakfast and a lunch, and I made $109 bucks, so I'm a real pro.
Yep.
Well, hey, you got paid to be an extra, so that is a big bonus right there, because most extras don't even get paid, so that's awesome.
Yeah, we pay $64 a day down here. So
nice.
In Kentucky, you usually don't get anything. You're doing good if you get a burger or a pizza. Yeah,
the indie film.
But
the bigger ones, I mean, yeah, you do.
You do there.
But
Screen Actors Guild.
I am not an actor. I'm not an actor and never wanted to be. I was just – that was just something that I thought I would do.
Try.
They actually – I think in the description it said they were looking for middle-aged white men, you know, so – so.
I got that covered.
Yeah, that's right. That's the extent of my talent is being middle-aged and white. So, anyway, but that was fun. It was something I tried. Yeah, and I did it the one time, and that was enough. So, it was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Yeah,
Daniel almost became an extra in Nashville.
It
fell through. Yeah, on that show Nashville, he almost got.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That would have been really cool.
Yeah,
I've done several different commercials and stuff like that down here, but you know.
Yeah.
music videos, different things like that. But mainly in my younger days and stuff, I haven't done. Last thing I did was a commercial for an insurance company or a banking company in Nashville. So.
Well, neat.
Or I was riding my high wheel bicycle and then a 10 speed bicycle.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Me and Steven, we just make movies. We don't get in front of the screen. I did for a brief second in our TV pilot, but you don't see my face. You see my back. But that, you see me running with a spear through some weeds. But that's my big screen moment.
Oh, yes.
But it is fun. It's grueling, but it's fun too.
But yeah. And Stephen, you very generously called me a musician. I'm not a musician. I enjoy music, and I play the guitar a little bit, and I peck around at the keyboard. But as a hobby, I like recording at home. I've got some recording software, and where I can play enough different things to make it sound like there's a little bit of a group or something, but I like instrumental.
Yeah, I was going to say that I've got proof that you are a musician.
Yeah.
I have two
we actually enjoyed both
loaded
songs
in our system. We've got songs of yours that are in the system right
now.
Well,
how did you
and
how in the world would you ever come across something like that?
I wonder.
I'm not going to admit. No, I will admit. I was concerned that I'm a boring guy, and so I was concerned about you having enough material to talk about me. And so I'll send them these couple of things, especially since they're instrumentals and nobody has to hear me sing. And just in case we run out of something to talk about, it can be a time filler. So
I told him, you don't have to worry about that with us. You never go run out.
No.
We always run over.
Well, good.
We always have what we call bonus material for the downloadable, streamable version of the show because we always go over the live show. It happens
nice.
All the time.
But speaking of it, though, Stephen, I think that we need to hear a minor clip.
I think
That's
we
it.
Should, but I want to give Pat a choice of which song to play first. I have one called Gallop and one called Poultry Showdown. So which of the two would you like to play first?
I don't know. That's kind of asking, like, do you want to be shot in the head or stabbed in the chest? You know, so I don't know. Either one is going to finish your audience off. But they're both very short. One's a minute and a half, and one's 2 minutes. You just pick and surprise me. It'll be
all right. Gallop into your music.
Gallop. You're going to intro the gallop. Okay.
Yeah. And oh man, yeah. And I knew you were going to be
That's
interesting
great.
Because Rob Hoff has been singing your praises to me and telling me about
the
you.
Hoff
so
man.
Anyone that can impress. The man behind Cosmic Egg Rapture, I mean, he's got to be fascinating. So hold on here.
Rob is a great dude.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
One of our favorites.
Here is one of Pat Paxton's compositions, Gallop.
Thank you.
little Paxton Music with Gallup. And I love those the backup vocalists at the end.
We first heard it, Steven's like, what in the world? I said, that's awesome. And he's like, yeah.
I flew those people in from overseas for that session. And not.
Very nice.
So you need to do a nice gangster rap with it. Just in the middle of it.
I'm always looking for ways to improve, so I'll take that under advisement.
Thank you, Kevin.
But it's fun. It is fun starting out with total silence, and then at the end having something, you know. And you know, I made every sound there, and it's, I don't know how well it comes across, but even if it's no good, at least it's something that wasn't there before. So you know, it's a lot of fun to do.
Yes,
I like it.
I like it.
And you said you perform all the instruments on these. You're doing everything.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I just did it in a bedroom in the house.
But he's not a musician, Steve. Don't you know?
Oh yeah, yeah. not a musician at all. Nope. Not at all. Nope.
Well, I'm not a public performing musician. How about that?
There you go. You are a musician.
Not yet. Who knows, next year I'll be picking up your first vinyl release, you know, you never know. Could happen.
I don't think so, yeah. But
you know, Steve,
nice you
Steven
all
is about
say.
Vinyl, though, you know.
Oh, yeah,
I always urge vinyl,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I know, I've got 300 or 400 at home here, so.
There you go.
Nice.
Well, you and Steven would have a good old time.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh man,
he loves this song.
Yeah, are you using that song for something, or is that just a creative kind of side project?
Well, that one—that's just something. I've done probably 20 different things that you know hardly any of them are worthy of human consumption. But it's that one was just for the heck of it. But I did do the other one that I sent you. That I used for a trailer that I created for my novel, and that it's on YouTube. It was something I did last year. It was kind of fun. You know, as you guys know, with a smaller publisher, a lot of we're really almost all the promotion is up to the author, or at least a lot of it. And so I have some software, like some video editing software, that I made a little video with, and then I put one of my songs, that other instrumental, you know, to it, and it's on YouTube, and so that actually, I mean, it's a song I had for seven or eight years already, but I thought, well, I'll just put this to some use, and so I put a video to it with some, I don't know what, you know, of course my book is not a movie, so there are no scenes, you know, from a movie to, you know, something like a movie trailer, but I just put some things that kind of have to do with my book to a video and then put it on YouTube, and it was just something to point to and say, I've got a trailer. So even though it's homemade, but it was a lot of fun. So.
Mhm. Well, let's hear it, Steve.
Well, good. That's good. We'll be getting this over with real fast.
Yeah, I want to hear this. I want everybody to hear this song.
Well, I just had to screen a call there really quick. We actually had a call in early. Yeah, the call dropped, though. But we will play the song right now. So, Pat Paxton, Poultry Showdown, coming at you. There you have it. Culture Showdown.
I love that
Pat
bass.
Max.
Sounds good.
I love
knew
that
you'd
bass
like that
in
bass,
there.
Holly.
Oh, yeah. I have a bass. I tinker on it, but yeah, I love that bass. Oh, my God. You play bass? Did you play that?
Oh, yeah. I made all the sounds that you heard.
Wow.
But again, you know, I use Cakewalk software, which I don't know if you're familiar. It's a multi-track, you know, recording software.
Yes,
and it,
I am.
And it's for home, you know, someone's home. But, you know, there's a lot of ways I did actually perform everything, but you can make things sound better. And I won't use the word cheat, you know, but because I did have to play everything. But you can tighten things up and
right.
make it all sound better. But yes, I did play everything. But I've got a bass and I've got a keyboard that makes a lot of different sounds. It makes some drum sounds. I use that for drums and then I play the bass and the guitar and the electric guitar and the acoustic guitar and then I'll piddle around on the keyboard a little bit, but I don't really know what I'm doing. But it's a lot of fun.
Well, as those
that's
songs
awesome.
Prove that you know what you're doing. That's good stuff. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you usually
quite
don't hear.
But thank you.
Well, you usually don't hear too many guitar players that also play bass. You know, you don't hear that much. So
right.
that's awesome. That is awesome.
Well, thank you. You know, you guys may be doing the world a disservice because you're just encouraging me to do more of that. So,
well, you should.
Yeah, be careful.
You should. I mean, I'm sitting here patting my foot and going along. You know,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
I do. I like it.
Well, he's
yeah,
talking about the
stuff.
Book trailer and all that, but we got to get to the book itself, folks. Camelot's
yeah.
Misplaced
okay.
Son, and it's it's a thriller, and it's as I read about it, it's a JFK and Jacqueline Kennedy story, right? So, or tied
into
yeah,
kind of yeah. Right, it's kind of peripherally tied in. It's not a book about politics at all. There's absolutely zero political content in it, and I always. I'm like probably a lot of people these days, I'm sick to death of all politics,
sure.
You know, for now. But so there's no politics in it, but it's just real briefly, it's about an ordinary middle-class 29-year-old single dad who's just a working-class guy who finds out that his real parents may be JFK and Jackie. And there's a lot of weird events happening, and he's kind of being pursued by someone. And so I don't know, it's a good bit of action. There's a little bit of romance and some spookiness, and I try to mix in at least my sense of humor, which you know I don't know if it's everybody's, but it's I don't know, a little bit of it's tough for me to nail down a genre, but I guess I had to pick thriller, I suppose. Because it is, I guess, a little spooky.
Cool.
It's been out less than a year from Hydra Publications, so this is your first year with something
yeah.
on the streets here, and
it
it's
is.
Available
yeah.
in print and paperback both. So that's cool. Congratulations on that, and you're doing quite well.
Thanks.
I noticed that on Amazon at least, he has 21 reviews, and
nice.
All 21 are 5-star reviews.
Nice.
So it's not
that's
bad.
Good.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Well,
yeah.
I've got 21 friends, and I threatened every one of them. You know, so that's got to be. Now I don't know. I know that some of those probably are my friends, but I know I can honestly say that quite a few of them I don't know who they are, but I'm thankful that they did do the review because, as you guys know, reviews are really important on Amazon. So. And I thank
him. Yeah, cover design is really cool too. It's interesting because it's a black and white cover.
Yeah.
As far as like the you know what I see here on online and God's you know often see that with a lot of book releases. That's just very different, which is I definitely commend you on. And it's a good little good cover too. And at least your name is big on the cover. Because I always get frustrated
yeah,
seeing
know,
authors
that,
put their names so tiny on a lot of covers, but your name is actually nice and prominent
yeah,
on there too. So
I was a little embarrassed by that. I owe the cover a thank you to Stu Thamen who was with Hydra at the time, and he's the one that really, of course, Stu and Tony brought me in, and but Stu was my contact mostly at Hydra for, and really, you know, got my book, you know, saw it from beginning to end, you know, after I'd turned it in.
Nice.
So he helped with, I helped a little bit with the cover, really just kind of the back, I found the background picture with like the lightning and the water, the ocean water, but
mm-hmm.
Stu did all the rest and he really made it come to life, I think. And I liked the black and white. That was his choice, and I'm thrilled with it because I just think the black and white, it kind of reminds me, and the lettering too, and I like this, of like an old-timey, like 30s black and white horror film, like a Frankenstein movie. The graphics that you might see in something like that. I don't, and
mm-hmm.
it may not even really be like that, but that's just maybe the way I pictured in my head from seeing all that as a kid. But Stu did a great job there, and he was a tremendous help, and I'm very grateful to he and Tony.
Yeah, well, it worked because what you would look over, like if you're at the ocean at nighttime, that's a nighttime sky. That's exactly how it would look. The water doesn't appear blue; it appears black. So, I mean, it totally reads, you know. And then the sky's lit up with lightning, and yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, really
concept.
Good cover.
Yeah, I like it too. Well, it kind of plays a prominent role. JFK Jr.'s plane crash, sadly.
Right.
It was an awful thing, but it plays a pretty prominent role in the story, and so that's kind of it was really that's where the cover came from was just from that.
Okay.
Now, how did you mentioned Stu and you mentioned Tony? Yeah, two of the, mm-hmm. the folks that were part of your path with Hydra. Now, how did your introduction to Hydra, you know, the story of finding the publisher, something a lot of authors out there that are unpublished right now love to hear those stories. So tell us how the connection was made and how it all came together.
Okay. Well, I mean, just so you know, I'll say I'm 58 years old. I had never written anything except – yeah, I did spend some time in banking a long time ago, and I'm still working full time in the insurance industry, and most of my writing was contentious letters with personal injury lawyers, where I was having to butt heads with those guys all day, and so that was the extent of most of my writing experience was letters to lawyers, and so but around the time I turned 50. Yeah. I know. I tell you what, it really makes you have to carefully choose your words, you know, they had to be meticulously crafted, the letters. So it was actually good experience. But anyway, around the time I turned 50, I got sick with, I won't bore you with the details of that, but it was something pretty serious. And I kind of started thinking that, you know, I better start trying some of these things that I'm interested in, you know, while I can. And so I'd had this story kicking around in my head, like a seed of it, for about 20 years. And I'd made a few notes early on in my, you know, like when I was in my 30s, I made a handwritten notes, you know, about 10 or 12 pages. But then I thought, I'm going to write it. So I started writing. And I wrote about 100 pages, and I thought, you know, I'd better, before I get too far into it, I'd better learn some more about writing just to make sure I'm not making any, you know, horrible mistakes. And so I kind of took some time off and just read a whole lot of different books about writing. And fortunately, I was doing okay. I mean, I was making some mistakes, but for the most part, I was doing okay. But when I was in North Carolina, I had finished the book when I lived there, and I thought I was finished, and I sent it out to a few literary agents, and it really now I know that it wasn't ready to send out, and so I got some encouraging feedback, and then of course there are some just no responses at all and that kind of thing, and But where I lived in North Carolina was very isolated. Like, there were hardly any, not very many people around, and no one to talk or go meet with about writing or anything. And so when we moved here, I moved for my job. I decided, made a conscious decision, I was going to try to get out and seek out other writers. And so I went first. I went to a little book show in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It wasn't even a book show. It was a some sort of not a flea market, but it was a gathering of some people selling stuff. I don't know exactly what it was. And I met Sarah Marion and her mom. Marion, doggone it, her name is escaping.
Marion Allen.
But yeah,
Marion Allen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yes, and I met them there, and I bought Marion's book, and I'm going to butcher the title here, but it's the life and death of, and it's a girl's name, and but it's such a good story. I read it, you know, about 3 years ago, you know, right as soon as I got it, and I just gobbled it up. She is really talented, and
oh yes.
So yeah, it's and I know she's working. I kind of pester her, asking her when she's going to finish the sequel. She's working on a sequel to that to that story. So, but it's definitely worth it. So, and then also I met, I went to, I guess, Frank Hall's store in LaGrange, Karen's Book Barn. I had seen where they were going to have a little seminar about, I think there was one about marketing and there was another about something else. And I went to two or three of those and I met Tony there, Tony Acree. And what a nice fella, and he's so entertaining to listen to. and so I just approached him and said, I've got a story. You know, I would like to, you know, to send it to you if I could. And I told him real briefly what it was about, and he said, okay, send it. Before that point, though, I had approached Sarah Marion about editing my book because I needed someone that wasn't a relative or a friend, you know, to really look it over. And she was terrific. If anybody's, I think that was key, I think, to me getting published, was having Sarah go through my book first. And, you know, there's a fee involved, which I, you know, won't disclose, but it's worth every nickel and more. And,
oh yeah.
But
she's top notch. Yes, she
really is. And, not only did she make, you know, corrections, but made some really insightful suggestions about you know, ways to improve it. Or she would ask questions, you know, and about, you know, is this really true? Or, you know, I don't know, things like that. But it was very good. So with her, after her, I took her suggestions and just really, it polished up my novel, I think, to the point it was presentable. And then I decided I wasn't going to go crazy pitching it. I sent it to, on the same day, I emailed it to Tony with a query letter at Hydra and then one other company. And then just over the course of a month or so, I was taken in by Hydra, and I was really grateful for that.
Cool.
Very cool. Well, Daniel, do you have some stuff you want to ask Pat? Because both of you are in similar kind of phases, because last year was your first year with, you know, your debut out and things like that. So you had you guys could probably relate in a few levels.
Yeah.
Sure.
When's your sequel coming out?
I can't handle the pressure. This pressure is killing me. No, I don't know. You know, if I have not quite, I have sort of started on something else, but I've kind of started on two other things, and one is a sequel, and it's mostly just in the formative stages. But I will say honestly, I feel a little pressure. No one has applied pressure. Maybe it's self-imposed pressure, but I feel a little pressure to do a sequel. Because I know sequels sell better, you know, from what I'm told. Honestly, it would be kind of fun you know, to continue this a little bit. And I really have something, while I've not started writing it, I've got it all synopsized, I guess, to where I think I have a complete story for a sequel thought out and written down, but I haven't started writing it because there's something else that I would actually rather write, and but I just don't know. No, I'm not exactly sure which way to. Pretty soon, though, I'm going to pick one and take off with it, I suppose.
Oh, whole reason I said that is because somebody's been on my butt about getting my sequel and sequel out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting.
These Clock damn publishers. Ticking.
I'm waiting.
All they see are dollar signs.
No, it's my head crack. It's dollar signs, too, but Daniel refers to it as my head crack because I'm Daniel's second number one fan. His wife is his first, of course, but yeah, I'm in line there. I'm a second number one fan, so I'm waiting.
You're my number one reading fan.
That's right. I'm his number one reading fan. That's right. And
no,
I'm waiting.
I totally kid about the dollar signs. I'm grateful for Hydra taking me in, and you know, I thought about self-publishing, but you know, before I had done all this, but I don't think I'm a secure enough person to have done that, because I think I needed somebody else to tell me, someone that I didn't know, to tell me that it was good, and that
right.
they were willing to that they were willing to put their money behind it, didn't want to. I wasn't ready just to inflict it upon the world because I had a novel inside me, you know. So
right. Well, it's always good to have that outside perspective and some help, someone to have the back, because it can become overwhelming, because we talk about this a lot. Is most writers are introverted people, and it's really hard because you can't just throw a book out there and expect it to sell. You know, you actually have to be a business person, because you are your business, and you are the face of your business, and you have to put yourself
right.
out there. And that's hard. So if you get a good tribe around you and supportive bunch, then, you know, that makes a whole world of difference. And it can make
right.
your writing so much more enjoyable and everything to share.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can make a whole lot more money personally if you self-publish.
Maybe.
But, like with me, I don't have the knowledge or the technical savvy to do a lot of things that Stephen and Holly do for me.
Exactly, right. And that I'm in the same boat there with you, because it was nice to have Tony and Stu to just say, all right, we're going to do this, and this
right.
is what you need to do next, and you know,
go
turn
for
this into, and. You know, it would take me years probably to learn what they know, if I could learn it at all. And they're just so they're such good guys. And I think it helps
mm-hmm.
that they're top-notch authors themselves, and
right.
not dust
mm-hmm.
publishers. You know, and so they
right.
know. You know, they've been in our shoes. So it's I'm grateful to them.
I think that's what's great about the indie publishing world, is that most indie publishers are in fact creatives and authors themselves. So, you know, they edit, they do covers, they, you know, they're into all this other, you know, components that go with it. So, you know, they actually, you know, got an inside look and an inside perspective instead of someone just sitting
yep.
behind a desk, you know, like with your big five now. It used to be the
right.
big six. Stephen says it's the big five. Who don't have a clue, you know, that's never wrote a book, but, you know, telling
right.
you what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah. Well, and,
yeah.
you know, I want to tell Tony, I'd like to tell Tony, if he's listening, get well soon. He's got,
yes.
He's under the weather a little bit, temporarily, I'm sure. But I tell you what, he is one ambitious dude. I mean, I'm so impressed. I mean, he's into everything. I mean, he writes his own books. He's publishing everybody
yep.
else's. He's got a movie in the works. It's just I don't know where he gets, you know, the hours in the day. And
I know
it ain't easy.
Like that.
Yeah, it ain't easy. Trust me,
yeah, well,
we do it.
Yeah, you
it ain't easy.
That's true.
But Tony is our toastmaster at Imaginarium, and he is for life as long as he'll put up with us. We love Tony. You know, he always says, "Oh, you're having me back? Oh my God, you're glutton for punishment." You know, we're like, "No, Tony, you're always going to be our toastmaster."
Yeah, and the best AARP Batman you can find.
Yes.
Yeah.
He
cosplays that.
Fantastic.
That is funny.
Yeah, he did last year. Yeah, he did last year.
Yeah.
Great.
He does need to dress up as something because I understand he's always mistaken for George Lucas.
Yes, everywhere he goes.
Everywhere he goes, people think he's George Lucas. So
it could be worse. It could be worse.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. But just because he's – yeah, we also – yeah, definitely have been in touch with him, and we know he's recovering and getting better now. But that doesn't let you off the hook, though. If you have some good Tony Acri stories, feel free to share them on the show because –
We will love to take them. Him or Rupert? Have you met Rupert, Pat? Do you know of Rupert?
A Rupert? No, I'm sorry.
Alter ego.
I don't know any Rupert.
Well,
Tony's alter ego. Yeah.
That's Tony's alter ego. And Rupert's quite the character. You gotta watch
Rupert,
out for Rupert.
He calls
randomly
sometimes.
I hate to disappoint. I don't really have any interesting Tony story. But just because I guess I'm so new to Hydra, he does throw a very nice Hydra Christmas party, though. I've been to two Christmas parties at his house for the Hydra parties, and those are fun. So,
Fireball cupcakes involved?
Fireball
cupcakes. But I wouldn't be surprised. there were all different types of adult beverages there, so I'm not surprised if some of them found their way into a cupcake. I wouldn't be surprised.
He loved this
fireball.
Yeah,
I can neither confirm nor deny that I've given Tony some fireball handshakes involving those airplane-sized, fireball bottles before.
Nice.
Oh my God! That one year you went around and gave him how many? I don't know. You gave him handshakes.
I think
with
one
fireball.
Year Imaginarium, I went around and shook his hand like about five or six times.
I kept giving you fireball. You take it, shake Tony's hand, and have a fireball.
Yes, that was fun. Oh, we have a ball though. Yeah, we love Tony, and I can imagine spending a day with him and Rob Hoff. That's got to be a blast.
Oh my God!
I mean, if you're at an event, and
Yeah.
Because if you get to sit between those two, Pat, you've got it made because they're just so engaging of people. And all, oh, man, I can imagine. Yeah, they draw a crowd pretty quick, probably.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh,
well,
man.
Pat, are you coming to Imaginarium, Pat?
Coming this year.
I was to Imaginarium? Yes, I will definitely be there. I could not come last year, but I was there 2 years ago. In 2017, I came. But
it's a lot bigger.
Very cool. Yeah, we're bigger and even better now. So
bigger,
you got a lot to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
The Hoff
will be
there, of course, and that'll be a lot. Oh man, I can't wait. Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
And us, we'll all be there.
Have our toastmaster back and.
I heard on a previous podcast of yours, you were voted the I'm going to butcher this probably, but the number one convention in Kentucky, is that right? Or
number one writing convention conference in Kentucky, and second in the Southeast USA. And the only one that edges out was in Atlanta, and it's a very big, very notable event down there.
And I'll take it.
With some
That's
major
fine.
League agents
nice.
At it and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes
well,
that,
do,
my
do
programming
Color
how all worth it. Do what?
Did y'all beat out Killer Nashville?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right.
On their chart.
Yeah.
I mean,
woo!
On their chart, yeah. Well, I mean, on the Rider magazine, yeah.
Yeah.
They ranked us second. Yeah.
I'll pat myself on the back. Thank you.
Here's something where I could use. I'd like to talk to you folks about. I may have questions. And I didn't really mention this before. We were talking about, you know, writing a sequel or writing something else or what's next. And actually, I've kind of turned my attention to adapting my novel into a screenplay.
Well,
and,
there you go.
I've just begun work on that, actually. And so really, that's probably my immediate focus before I think I start another book. But that's a learning experience. Yeah, too.
That's a whole other beast.
Oh yeah,
Stephen knows all about
that. That's the first time I ever did an adaptation. That's quite a challenge in some ways, because you coming from the prose world, you know, you're used to description, interior thoughts, you know, a lot of things that you cannot do in a screenplay, and then the fact that just, you know, only, you know, 85% of a book is not going to make it in a screenplay minimum. So, in a movie, so it's you know, so you got a lot of decisions to make, and that is not easy the first time around doing it the first time. So that's
right. I know
what you're going through.
Well, I can imagine it would be like if you had 12 kids and you could only keep 3 of them or something, you know, and you've got to get rid of a few, and like which ones, and I want to keep them all, and.
And you can't get real descriptive. That's the whole thing.
Right.
It's cut and dry, you know. And as an author, you want to be descriptive and paint the scene.
Uh-huh.
Well, that ain't how screenwriting goes. You know, it's cut and dry, bam, bam. And yeah, it's a whole different beast.
Yeah, you can't go inside the heads of characters. You have to always show. Mm-hmm. You can't tell, you know. And it's a whole different approach, you know. It's definitely, like I always said, it's apples and oranges, you know, the two. And once you've gone through it, you understand why movies are different from the books and why changes have to be made that sometimes make fans of the books mad. Once you've gone through it and seen the mechanics of it, and it's definitely its own art. And that's a big reason, actually, why we, you know, this year we have our guest of honor as a screenplay, great screenplay writer, Jeffrey mm-hmm. Reddick, who does the Final Destination, founded the Final Destination franchise, and because screenwriters, I don't, in my personal opinion, I don't get enough credit as a whole from the, you know, the creative writing world for the art of screenplay writing. It's definitely,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think not seen, you know,
that's
quite
difficult.
On the same level as like some of the novels, novel writing and things like that. So I it's something that needs to. That definitely should be get more respect than I think it does in the writing craft on its own.
Yeah, I can see that. It's
tough.
It's a different skill set than.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a real skill set. Right, and it's a real talent. I think taking something and, like you said, being able to, you know, to show what's going on instead of just, you know, using pages to describe something, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, they're totally different, and a good screenplay writer, you know, like I said, worth their weight in gold in the movie realm. But that doesn't mean that all people that write in like novels, you know, could not necessarily do a good screenplay. It is a different craft, and it definitely takes a special skill set. So, yeah, I have the utmost respect, having done an adaptation and done screenplays. I have a huge respect for. Screenplay writers. So there's the good ones are really amazing in what they can, you know, what they do. And it's one of the more frustrating pursuits, because you know that's good, that what you hand in to the production company is going to be changed. by the time that gets to the screen. Things are going to be changed by directors, by all kinds of outside forces that will have their own say in different parts of it, of the production. But it will be changed from your original vision a little bit. So it can be a little frustrating, I think, for some of the people that are, dedicated screenplay writers, and they have a lot of them have good stories. Jeffrey is one of them. So talk to him when he gets to the Imaginarium. He can tell you some good stories.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will.
He'll be doing some panels and stuff too. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's going to do a
very
workshop too. Me and him just haven't decided on what type yet.
Yeah.
We're thinking.
Yeah, he's a very approachable fellow. Yeah, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool that you're diving in with both feet and doing an adaptation after your first book is coming out. That's awesome, and I hope that it works out well, and you can get to the fun part of finding the production company or path to getting it optioned.
Right, that's going to be a whole another thing to learn about, and how that gets done, and so
slow process.
I got the first step done. Yeah,
I will warn you. It's a slow process. It's not something overnight.
I kind of realized that with the writing and that sort of thing, or the novel wasn't overnight. So I can imagine everything is probably come slowly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe
right.
Rupert will come in with a big wad of bucks here, from the who knows, Maybe Hydro will have just a monster year ahead, and then they'll be able to finance it, do it in-house.
I hope so. I hope that everything works out the way he wants. It's very exciting for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
To fingers are crossed and then some.
Definitely.
We're definitely Tony Acree fans. I'm always like Tony. I can tell you many stories. It's at the time that he actually got up and there was a crowd standing outside. It was at a Phantom Fest, and he literally took a stack of books and went out to the crowd that just standing to get waiting to get into the vendor hall. I mean, just a crowd, big line standing to waiting. They hadn't opened yet. And he just decided to take a whole big stack of books and go out there. And he sold them all to the people in line.
I'm not surprised.
Before they even got into the vendor hall. And that day I was like, this man is a legend. and Frank Hall was in awe of him. He was. That's when Frank just brought him aboard Hydra not too long before that. And it's we were just like, wow, this guy is amazing.
sounds like him.
Yeah, he can work a crowd.
So you're in a good home for sure. And I love the we consider Hydra our part of our greater family. And we definitely are tight with a lot of your camp over there. And it's definitely a good bunch of folks for sure. Of course, the Hawks we harass more than any of anybody. Yeah, we always
close
say
with Fur Bastet
World Imaginarium is don't hassle Huff. But we do. I mean, we do hassle him quite a bit.
It's
so fun.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's
I don't
a
know
character.
Him well, but I don't know him well, but my encounters with him have just been really pleasant. He's he's funny and really clever, clever fella.
Well, just know that, he had just immense praise for you and leading up to the show. Yeah, just comments he makes to Holly and myself. I mean, he's a big Pat Paxton fan. And
he's a nice guy, but I don't know what kind of judgment he actually has. So
he's like, Holly, you got to have Pat on. You got to have Pat.
that's nice of him. I owe him one.
Well, that's why I sent out a special tweet to him. I said, don't forget, I said, this Wednesday we have our Pat Paxton action on the Star Chamber show, so hopefully he'll catch this a little bit.
I appreciate you letting me talk about my book and at least say the title over the air and that sort of thing. And but it's a lot of fun. I don't know how folks come up with how everyone comes up with stories, but you guys tell me if yours is any different. Like mine started out as one thing, and then I had two or three other ideas for separate stories, and I ended up kind of merging them all into this one book, and so there's kind of a lot going on and a lot of action. I don't think there's the feedback I've gotten from folks is the most common phrase is they say they can't put it down, which is so flattering. And so that's kind of what I was hoping for. I was trying to keep it as fast moving and quickly paced, and with some surprises in it as much as I could. So, but it was a lot of fun to do.
The origins of stories, yeah, they take a lot of paths. I mean, I know Daniel, he's a reincarnation of Jack the Ripper, so I know that factors into his storytelling.
Neat.
Yeah, mine come from just, you know, various themes and influences from, you know, all kinds of different sources. But like you, sometimes I get a multiple things that kind of all of a sudden thread together, and boom, you know, I've got a story idea, and you know, and that's depends on whether it's you know, what kind of story, but yeah, it's kind of like falls along those kind of lines.
Mm-hmm. And then you go off,
and then
start spitting out novellas. Steven got on the novella kick. Last year was spitting out a novella right and left.
I've enjoyed those because they're just big enough that you can do a little bit more plot and character development than you can in a short story, but they aren't quite as they're not going to be so involved as a novel that they're going to take months and months to do. And so it's kind of like a nice little sweet spot, you know, where you can, you know, really do a little bit more elaborate of a story, but not necessarily have the same time commitment as a novel. And in the ebook world, as it is, I mean, that's, you know, it's very, you know, we have a very flexible, you know, amount of options for the formats that we put out as writers now. I mean, you can even put a short story out as an ebook, single ebook release. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a cool time to be in for storytelling because, you know, you can bring it all, you know, pretty much tell any kind of story you want, you know, from massive to small, you know.
That is true.
And that's one benefit of being in, you know, the bad side is just that there's so much being released that there's just a flood of stuff out there.
Oh yeah.
And
it is
a glut, you know, and so it's very hard unless you're constantly working and hustling and doing the best you can to get your name out there. I mean, it's very hard to, you know, stay on the radar, you know, when you're independent or self-published, small press, that kind of thing. And even with major presses, I mean, it's a tough game now.
Well, they expect you to do major presses. They expect you to do just as much as if you're, you know, self-published nowadays. So.
They do now.
That's true.
Absolutely.
True. Yeah, because the market's it's changed. It's a different world. But
who were some of your earlier
influences, like with writing, who was some of your earlier
influences?
That,
good question.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, honestly, I've probably not read as much as a lot of people. I like Stephen King. There was a guy that out in Seattle or out that way named Tom Mitcheltree. Tom Mitcheltree is his name, and it was he had a series of books that the first one was called Katie's Will, and it was kind of neat. They were sort of historical fiction, and I really enjoyed his. But as far as influence, I don't think I have any writing influences other than in the acknowledgement section of my book, in the back of my book, I thank Gary Larson, the creator of Farside, the comic Farside.
Yeah.
And said that he was the closest thing I have to a writing influence because not only was he funny, but I was so in awe of his ability to, in one square, just get your attention and get a point across. I think I'd mentioned that, you know, he sort of illustrates the old dictum that brevity is the soul of wit. And I always like that expression.
Yeah.
You know, a long drawn out joke is no good. You know, I mean, the best ones are just bang, bang. And you know, he could get so much across in a single frame of one of his comics.
God, that's
and,
so true.
And so, yeah, and so really, that probably, he probably inspired me, you know, to, and I mean, to make, you know, made me think, wow, that's neat. And of course, I have no artistic ability as far as drawing, you know, goes, so I couldn't do that. But it was like, well, you know, I can at least get this thing out of me, and you know, this story, and so I did. But yeah, I don't really have writing influences other than him, I would say.
Well, that's awesome. I remember those. God, it's been years.
Oh, yeah.
Since
I read,
I've read any of that.
All the time. I mean, yeah.
Oh,
part,
I did too.
I've got some of the books. You know, they've got the books that have a collection of them, and you know,
yeah,
just a book full of these. And I've got several of those, and I really miss when he retired. It was, you know, I was sad about that. It was, and then for a while, you know, I bought his calendars and all that stuff, and then putting those out now. You know, so
yeah, I haven't seen any for a long time.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I do
remember
like,
the
I mean,
for
I,
a long.
But as far as books that I've read sort of lately, I have made a point. I kind of wanted to see what all the fuss is about all these classic authors. You know, like I 6 months ago, I thought I'm going to make a point to try to read some of some classic books, you know, just to see what the fuss is about. And so I just sort of Googled Googled some authors and that sort of thing, and the first one I picked a Hemingway book, The Sun Also Rises, and read that, and I don't know, I thought the most interesting thing about that is that, you know, it took place in the 20s, and hearing people describe things in the 20s, it was interesting, but I don't know, I loved the Stephen King book 11/22/63. About the guy that goes back
yes.
and tries to save JFK.
Have you watched the series? Have you watched the series?
I heard that it was.
Oh,
it,
you gotta watch it.
I'll have to find it. Really good. Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Phenomenal. Alrighty.
Yes. Netflix.
I will do that. But that was a great book. I mean, it was 800 and some pages, but
yes.
It just flew by. So.
Mm-hmm.
I have it, but
that.
I haven't read it yet. But I did watch the series, and the series is phenomenal. Stephen
okay, I'll have to watch
bits and pieces with me, but yeah, it's definitely worth it. It's definitely from the mind of King, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's a ride. It is a thrilling
yeah.
ride. I love it.
Well, you know, this,
it's really good.
This book, I mean, that book is, you know, there's no gore or really, it's not scary. You know, it's not scary.
No,
it's just kind of a time travel book, and
yeah.
Which I've always been fascinated with. Time travel and reincarnation and things like that, and that's where I was kind of, you know, before I was saying that I'm a little torn between starting a sequel and then something else I want to write. The other thing is sort of in the vein of time travel reincarnation sort of thing, so I don't know what I'll actually do.
Very
but
cool.
If anything, but.
Anyway. Oh, you must continue. You must.
Yes.
that's
I don't know.
We want to have you on the show again. We want to
and
have you on
don't
the
think
show
somebody,
in years to come.
I'll say, if you don't think somebody will like it, that's wrong, because somebody will always like it, and you're always your own worst critic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
you know, that's you're right. Yeah, you are right about that. I've got this something in me where – sometimes I will want to do something. I like to try things. I had no construction experience, and about 20 years ago, I built an addition onto my house just all myself, and a bedroom mm-hmm. and a bathroom and some stairs and a living room, and I did
yeah.
it all complete. I wired it and framed it and roofed it and drywalled it and
yes.
just everything.
Yes.
But and but so I don't know. My dad, I miss my dad. He died about 7 years or so ago. But, and, you know, kids don't listen to their parents as much as they probably should. I know I probably didn't. Mm-mm. But I know that the greatest thing anybody ever told me, or at least the most useful thing that anyone ever told me, was my dad telling me that, well, back in the 60s, with no construction experience, he built our house. He built an entire house mm-hmm. and he lived in it. And I remember him telling me, you know, that, you know, if somebody else, you know, when he was starting to do that, he thought, if somebody else can do something, or someone else can learn to do something, you know, I can learn to do something if you just are willing
yeah, right.
to devote the time to it. And so mm-hmm. I have just that, and I like to try new things. You know, the house work, you know, adding on to my house worked out well, and this, you know, I wrote the book, that's worked out well, and the little acting thing was fun. I mean, I'm not an actor. I just did what they said, stand here and do this, you know, so I did that mm-hmm. And on Sleepy Hollow, but that was fun, but I don't
Fantastic.
Really have any desire to do it again, you know. I mean, so I kind of tend to try things, do it, see what it's like, and move on to something else, and so I'm mm-hmm. not sure. I bet you that I'll want to write something more soon, because I know I've got ideas flopping around in my head, but
right.
But I'm not completely sure that I'll, or convinced that I will do it. But and that'll be okay if I don't. Yeah, you know, I've done this, and I know what it's like. I won't have to wonder what if. So
what if? Right.
I think regret. What? Regret is a lousy thing. So
what's your famous statement, Daniel, about the today?
Yeah.
Well,
one day, two day. Yeah.
You have one day. Or today, you can always say that I'm going to do this one day. One day you'll never get here. One day is always a day off. But you have today, and you can do it today. You may not be able to do all of it today, but you can get started.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great, Dan.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I guess our without getting all philosophical or anything, I mean, you know, our time here is limited, and especially while we're feeling good and able to do
yes,
things,
sir.
You know, we ought to do them. And so it's
exactly.
It's fun to try new things, and I'll keep trying new things, I suppose.
Well, we're glad you do.
What?
We're enjoying it.
Well, I sure hope so. You know, one day
well,
I may have some Pat Paxton vinyl on my shelf, along with Pat Paxton books,
right.
and who knows, maybe if I ever make a little extra money, you can even build something on the house for me.
You know,
I love it.
It took me about 2 years to build that edition, and my left thumbnail was purple the entire time, where I was just repeatedly beating it with a hammer. It would never heal because I was just constantly smashing it with the hammer, and so that was sort of.
Well, I'm good with the hammer. I got it.
I was pretty good with the hammer.
Next
but, I mean,
next
I
time,
get
you
enough.
A nail holder.
Yeah.
or a nail gun. Pow pow pow
nail
pow.
Gun.
The nail gun.
Yeah, my friends can usually tell when I have some home improvement project going because I'm also injured at the time. I've got some sort of injury. And,
yeah.
But it's,
well, that's impressive.
I'm in the middle
because your dad and my grandfather. I mean, I'm impressed with, you know, hearing those stories from the past about how they built entire houses by themselves, and they weren't, you know, home builders by trade necessarily when they built
right.
entire houses. You know, and
yeah.
like the one my grandfather built that my dad grew up in is rock solid. I mean, it's an amazing house, and
mm-hmm.
I just was just like wow when I got old enough to appreciate it. You know, he built it, you know,
yeah.
himself. You know, there wasn't anything
yeah.
to go out and hire a company to do it or anything like that. He,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
right.
He taught
right.
himself how to do a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and ever since then, I mean, ever since I started, you know, did my addition onto the house there like 20 years ago, now I'm way more confident than I should be about repairs and things. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that I tackle. I mean, I'm almost to the point where, like, I'm not paying anybody to do anything when it comes to fixing something at my house.
Right.
Except I don't know, like heating and cooling guys, I won't fool with that. I don't know what I'm
doing
there.
Yeah, I don't like
that
either.
You know, I'm not, you know, simple electric stuff I'm okay with, but I don't know. They're, I've gotten into things, think, oh, yeah, I can do that, and then it turns out, of course, to be, you know, take me five times as long as I thought it would. But that's pretty satisfying stuff, too. I like doing that. I've got all kinds of things
nice.
I'd like to do when I retire, but if I can get to that point.
I don't think any of us ever really truly retire.
No. Our mind don't really retire
right.
ever.
Yeah, we don't ever really retire. Not a creative,
yeah.
you know. But before our lifetime, before our lifetime runs out, we need to know where people can find you. You need to tell
yes.
our audience
well,
where
you.
They can
okay.
find
Fans
Pat.
Can find you.
Okay, well, I
online.
That. I've got a website. I've got you can find me at patpaxtonbooks.com. It's the optimistically.
Nice.
Book, the optimistically titled books with the S at the end, like I'm going to write more.
I love it.
But it's, yeah.
I encourage it.
But Pat, yeah. But patpaxtonbooks.com, and I've got on there you can buy a print version of my book, and they are signed. You can buy signed copies that I'll sign and mail to you, and you can pay with credit cards and all that sort of thing on that. On Facebook, I've got. Pat Paxton Books Facebook page that's where I just kind of hang out and visit with folks that like the page. And the book is it's Camelot's Misplaced Son. It's on I guess most prevalently on Amazon. It's you know Kindle and print versions, but it's on other sites. Books a Million has it and Barnes & Noble, it's on their website. It's even I saw on like Walmart.com you can buy it. So I don't know where they get it from, but
knowing Tony's probably Ingram carries it. Yeah,
okay.
Ingram probably distributes it, so it's probably available pretty much anywhere that you know anywhere possible you can get books if people
well,
have
that,
to ask for it if it's not on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Hey Pat,
okay.
One thing real quick is on your webpage, check your other links on your webpage, because I tried going to one of them and it said this page is not found.
Ooh, okay. So
here we are.
On,
in trouble.
I went to your webpage and hit the links down on the bottom. Check your links down on the bottom.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you very much. I sure appreciate.
And I love the fact that you called it Pat Paxton Books with an S, because who knows, it might be your higher self communicating to you, you know, continue.
That's right. also, Pat Paxton Book sounds pretty lame, so I almost had to put the S.
I love it.
And to give you an idea, Pat, when I wrote my first one,
mm-hmm.
I wrote it just for me, just to prove that I could do it. And, you know, didn't think anybody would ever want to read my dribble.
Now he writes for me.
Yeah, now a year later, Daniel, he's an award-winning author. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Daniel, I totally get that. I mean, when I started writing this, I was kind of in the midst of a health problem. And I was doing it for me too, and then the further I got along, I thought, well, the goal became just to finish it, you know, and whether anybody even saw it or not, you know, I wasn't really a concern. It was just like, I'm going to finish this thing, and then maybe I'll have it printed up or something. You know, of course, I didn't know how or anything, but then once I started getting a little feedback and reading it, I thought, well, gosh, I might as well. I've done this. I need to take the next step and just throw it out into the world and see what happens. So, but that's neat. That's neat, Daniel. It's I wonder how many people do start like that, just thinking, you know, this is for me. It's just something I want to do. And I bet a lot of great books have probably started that way.
That is, you know, that's the reason I tell people that, you know, they, people that want to write will write. People that have it in them, like you've got other stories in you that will keep gnawing at you until you let them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. You're right. It's like something that kind of has to, I just kind of had to get out of me, you know, is what it felt like.
And the, mm-hmm. and these other stories, you're going to have to get them out of you sometime, or they're just going to keep wearing you down.
I'm sure you're right. I mean, and I'm sure not ready to say right now, oh, I'm done writing books at all, because, I mean, I do, I mean, I've got pages of notes for, and I'm really ready to start writing a sequel. I just haven't started it yet, and honestly, the idea of the script sort of jumped in the way and fascinated me a little bit, so... so that's what I've been working on here lately, but I know that I'll want to revisit these characters again and all of that. And so I'm sure that I will write something. It's just, I'm not exactly sure when that'll be.
When?
And, but I need to take my own advice and, you know, while I'm healthy and feeling good and I need to, and while I maybe still have the ability, who knows, I always feel like, you know, am I going to lose this? You know, I don't know if you guys ever think like that. I mean,
oh yeah,
but yeah, and but you're right. I'm sure it's like a tool. A lot of it, where another expression my dad used to say is that the brain is a muscle, and that the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And so I do know when I was really in the thick of writing this thing that. You know, where I was writing most every day. And, you know, I was still juggling around a full-time job, you know, too, that I still work. But it was easier to do. The more I did it, the easier the writing was, you know, so.
No, I definitely could vouch for that. Yeah, you know, once you kind of get in that rhythm and groove, it just, it kind of flows. And that's what I say, ride the momentum. Definitely.
Well, I was going to say, when I heard you talking before I came on, that you're right now in a 3,000 word a day groove, and that that's spectacular. And especially
it's you had it right the first time.
It makes it quiet during the day. I get a lot done, let me tell you.
Well, the early part of the day, and then usually. Unload on me when I come
out. Then I bombard him when he comes out. I'm like, hey, I need this and this and this and this, and I got this
and this and this and this,
yeah.
And this and this and this. Oh, yeah.
Hey, while I'm on here, if anybody's listening, I wanted to give a shout out to the Southern Indiana Animal Rescue.
Cool.
If I'm allowed to do that, they.
Yeah, absolutely.
Folks,
yeah.
Like a lot of other. Organizations like them, they do awesome work. We my wife and I have been married, it'll be 37 years this summer, and I could write another book about marrying up, you know, so I don't know exactly how I managed to keep her for 37 years, but I'm very fortunate. but we've had four dogs over that time. Sometimes, you know, like two, most of the time we had two at one time, but we just, about 6 months ago, we lost our buddy. He was about 15, his little lab named Marty. And, about 6 months off. That's okay. I mean, we spoiled him rotten, and that was I think that's the purpose of a pet. And he had a great life. And, but we weren't sure if we ever wanted another one. And so we let about 6 months or so go by. It is. And we did a lot of shopping around's the wrong word. We didn't care what kind of breed or anything like that. In fact, we like mutts, but we did need one. My granddaughter is at the house a lot. She's two, and we needed one that was good with kids and good with other dogs and that sort of thing is what we look for. Anyway, we just got one, and he's just great. But those people were really nice. And do awesome work. So if you can, I think they've got a Facebook page, Southern Indiana Animal Rescue, and they don't have a shelter. They rely on volunteers to foster dogs, and so. But they take donations and that sort of thing, and so anyway, I just wonder. I don't know any of those people at all, other than the nice lady named Trish that helped us with George. He's the one we just got, and I think she.
That's
I
my
think
middle
she's
name.
In charge of it, maybe. All right.
Yeah.
But anyway, if people they take donations of money and food and all that sort of thing, but and they have a lot of
cute, cool.
You know, little dogs and cats. So anyway,
aww.
Just wanted to get that out there.
We love our animals, our
mm-hmm.
fur babies
yes,
all our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
We have the famous dubious one around here.
He's
I think
right
he's
here.
In there with you, Steve. I was going
to
say
he's
not
right
in here in the office
speak.
With me. I think
he's hanging
with
out
you,
with me, listening to the show right now. Yeah.
He's a burly, burly Russian blue, and he likes laying on Daniel's suits when he visits.
Yep.
Hey, can I say one more thing?
Please.
My sister Beth down in Texas today told us that she's retiring, and so I wanted to congratulate. Beth, my sister down in Texas, on a well-deserved retirement. She's been at it a long time. So
awesome.
Congratulations to her. She's a good sister.
Very
I told
cool.
her
very
I'd
cool.
shout that out to the world tonight here on your podcast. So thank you.
Oh, that's fine.
Fantastic.
It's your floor.
Well,
it's your floor.
This is your night. So thank yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for choosing us
well,
to share some good stuff.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I can't imagine that I'm very interesting, but it somehow you're
well,
right.
You've been very interesting.
Into it.
Very interesting.
Well, it's yeah. Well.
Yeah, we enjoyed the music, the talk of books. The,
yep.
Yeah, finding out all your wide range of talents and even home building.
Yeah.
That's it's been very very cool.
Well, thank
so,
you. It's
Yeah, it's been a great
been
show.
Enjoyable.
Anything yeah. else that you'd like to add, Daniel,
that we haven't covered yet, or you think we haven't covered yet?
The only other thing is, where is he going to be next?
Yeah. That's
okay,
a
like
one.
A book
yeah.
signing and stuff.
Okay.
Where can
well,
we catch up with
dry.
You?
Yeah, I'm a little dry on that right now. I was set to go to the to LaGrange, to the Kentuckiana
yes.
Book Fair.
Oh.
But I had to back out. I've got some family coming to town on that day.
Oh.
Someone that I don't get to see often at all, about once a year, and
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't pass that up. So
well, you could have met
right.
you could have met all of us lovely people here.
I know. Well, it hopefully. I
now he's got an
I'll
extra reason to stay home now.
but I know I'll be seeing you at Imaginarium. So,
yeah,
but hopefully,
definitely.
But maybe
definitely.
This spring or summer I'll run into you somewhere.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is quite possible. We do hang in similar circles, so that is quite
yeah.
possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, we do.
But
all
thank
right.
you
well,
for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. I think that covers about everything, Pat. I think we
awesome.
Covered the whole range here.
Yep.
So,
well, thank you, folks, and I'll go ahead and jump off here. And again, I really appreciate the time, and you're all very easy to talk to, and that does make the time fly. So thanks a lot.
Well,
thank
you.
You're welcome, Pat.
Thank you, Pat, and we'll be seeing you.
All right.
Very
great.
Soon.
Good
Have
night.
A good night. So, folks, thank you very much for listening. And, yeah, definitely check in the Star Chamber Show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And if you do like the show, you can show your support by becoming a patron of ours at patreon.com/7thstarpress. And that's patreon.com/7thstarpress. And spell that out. It's all spelled out letters. And, yeah, definitely all helps with us putting on the show. So, thank you very much, and I am signing off for tonight, and let Holly and Daniel say their goodbyes.
Goodbye, everybody, and we hope that you tune in next week, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll see you then. Okay, Daniel.
Appreciate it, hon. Everybody have a good week, and get out there and support your authors and your creatives, because they're out there supporting you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.